Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got a mighty combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
Welcome back to the last Mountain West Connection show here. Jeremy Moss hanging out with Chris Hondris. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter, MWC Connection. Give us a holler. Like us. Reply. Tell us we suck. Tell us we're awesome. Right, Chris?
Pretty much. Hi, guys.
And we have big news. Almost breaking news. I'll just go big news, not breaking news. Can you announce our big news?
What's our big news?
About you.
Oh, it's not big news.
Yeah, we're following it. People want to know. At least I
Okay, think. Well, we're at 398 followers.
For at Greek Padre.
Yeah, for at Greek Padre.
Get him to 400. Real quick, since you're at the concert the other day, did you tweet out pictures of Darius Rucker? Because that might help.
No, but I could tweet them out tonight.
That would give you some more followers, perhaps.
I know. I like how we're doing social media 101 on the podcast.
Hey, some people don't know that stuff, and there's professionals who don't know that stuff, so.
Right? Okay.
And that's kind of my deal. My other job, I kind of work in that. So I tell people photos, videos, people like that. GIFs. You know what? People like those things.
Yeah, but it takes battery and stuff like that. Okay, anyway, let's...
Football. Mountain West football.
Mountain West football.
Week 8 has come and gone. There are some good games this weekend.
There are some really good games this
rivalry
weekend.
Rivalry games. There are good games, not even in the Mountain West. If you're watching... Really quick, did you see Notre Dame, Florida State, how it ended?
I did watch that game. That was the game we were watching. Okay, so story goes, I went to the Darius Rucker concert last night after studying 6 hours at the library. 2 hours in between each, I go to my uncle's hotel room where we're kind of tailgating. And so football was on. As it should be. So unfortunately, no Mountain West football was on, but we did watch the Florida State-Notre Dame game. Holy hell. Notre Dame should have won that game.
You know, so you're disagreeing with that being that should not have been a penalty?
No. That totally was a penalty.
Okay, that's what I'm asking because there's a quick post on it. You know, it's a big deal when if you go to SBNation.com and Dan Rubenstein does a video at 10 p.m. at night or midnight East Coast time. You know there's something going on, right?
Yeah. No, it was a good call. But regardless, Notre Dame should have found a way to win that game. They were dominating the whole entire game.
Yeah, I know. I was flipping back around. I watched most of it. I kind of back and forth between the San Diego State-Hawaii game and BYU-Nevada, kind of flipping around, mostly sticking to Nevada-BYU because that was probably a game most people didn't see, but still a pretty good game the way Nevada came back. But all the FSU Twitter guys, people claiming whatever. No, maybe I'm saying it backwards. You know FSU Twitter.
No fan here.
Crazy. But that Notre Dame fan, whoever said it's not a penalty, dude, he drove down his shoulder like a run block. He's like the center taking out a nose tackle.
Yeah.
Because people are like, not that we need to go off too much off topic that we do, but I guess there's a play earlier where that same situation happened. And like, hey, ref, look
at this. It wasn't called at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you don't call it, people are like, why did they let the refs decide the game? People hate that. If you don't call it, they're deciding the game on not calling a penalty. If you do call it, deciding the game on a penalty. So that's like, come on, whatever.
That's what was annoying about it. It was clear it was a penalty, but the fact that they didn't call it the first time and they called it the second time, that's what goes kind of BS.
It is.
Consistent with your calls.
But I've been a ref for, well, not major Division I college football. There's stuff you miss.
And they Little miss League football doesn't count.
No, I've refed. Should I say what it is so people know my background, or should I just kind of...
No,
No, all I'm saying is, whatever level we were doing at, it was higher than middle school. It was some... But... There's stuff you miss, and they say, "Hey, watch for this." I'm like, "Okay," and they watch for it. That's all. That's all what happened. And that's all I got called. But
okay, so here's the question: should we go into Twitter questions first, or should we go into games first?
Let's go to Twitter because they're kind of forward thinking and not necessarily about this past weekend.
All right, go.
Let's go to the first one. Our good friend Chris Turner, who give him a follow on Twitter at Chris L Turner, and he seriously did not know Hawaii was not in the Mountain West for basketball. Because I put up the poll. I was like, where's Hawaii?
Seriously, Turner?
Yes.
Sir, I am very ashamed of you. But then again, he may not have known that because he lives in Missouri and because I obsessively follow Big West sports as much as I follow Mountain West sports. So
He says the whack. I get it. It's fine. He's just kind of curious. We're just joking around. But his question, since he does cover Hawaii and does a good job for us, over-under on the wins, rest of the way for Hawaii. Not total, but... to wrap up the season. He says three more wins.
So he's thinking of 5-8?
Yeah, they're at, no, 5-7. They got 12 games this year, right?
5-7? 5-7? God, man, what?
Whatever more wins than they probably should have, right? Here's what they got. They played San Diego State pretty close. Only their second double.
Are they saying that Utah State's going to be a win? San Jose State or UNLV and maybe even Fresno State in there? I mean,
Here's the thing. Nevada, they're streaking. It's at home for Hawaii. So I get maybe a 30% chance to pull that off. Maybe. As for games, they could – for UNLV, I think we can say very reasonable chance that's a win, right?
I'm going over-under on – I'm going the under on three wins.
I'm going under and probably say one win, yeah. UNLV.
I'm not even sure I'd go UNLV at this point.
It's in Hawaii.
Well, okay, fine.
But, I mean, they have Nevada. I wouldn't be overly surprised just because of the way the Wolfpack have played. And then they host Utah State, who is now with, for the time being, for those who don't know, Daryl Garrettson left the game, some sort of wrist injury. We don't know at the moment. But the coaches, after x-rays, say he's out for a while. So you got Craig Harrison, who played a little bit last year when Chucky Keaton first went down. He's only played versus Utah State. We'll get into the Nevada game, but obviously he led him to a field goal, and that's it. It wasn't very productive at all. So maybe Utah State, but Utah State's defense is so good. I'm going just UNLV, going one. Are you going zero?
I'm going one.
One. Which one? UNLV?
Either UNLV, and this is going to kill me to say this, I'm curious on what Utah State's going to do now that they're down to their third-string quarterback.
Yeah, they have a couple freshmen they're high on, but they're both true freshmen. One is actually a pretty reasonable guy out of Texas. He was their 5A, the highest level in Texas, district player of the year. So it's still pretty good talent to get that type of guy. Probably at a high school, less than what Chucky Keaton was being considered as for the ratings and everything. But you got two freshmen never played. And so Utah State will be an interesting case, even though they still nearly won the game with their third-string quarterback.
Yeah.
But under, clearly
anyway,
under.
Okay, next question.
Let's stick with this since we're discussing Utah State from Buster Bronco ESQ. Looks like he's a lawyer there for the Esquire. Show off, right? Twitter show off?
Yeah, seriously.
He's basically saying...
That's like if I do Greek Padre MS.
Yeah. And I do... I got nothing. I graduated my regular degree. His questions within still Utah State, UNLV, we've kind of been discussing. I guess it looks like he does some fantasy football for college, which is... Heck, I do it for NFL, not really for college.
I play against him. His team name is the Bride of Chucky Keaton.
So should we not give him advice since you play him in that league?
I might not be facing him this week, but let's go ahead and ask him.
His question is Utah State defense still a good play against UNLV? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Utah State's defense is still fine. They remember, they still don't have their best player, Kyle Fracker, who was out like, what, week one or two? He's a first-round NFL draft pick, potentially, before the injury, so they're doing fine, yeah. And here's a better, bigger answer to that question. Any defense versus UNLV is a good play. Is that fair?
Fine.
I'm just sorry, but I'm just saying.
No, I know. I get it.
And we have one more question on your end, because we're doing this kind of backwards. What do you
got? Yes. Here we go.
Another good one here.
Yeah, from if this is from at Forstentanius, or his username on SB Nation is Austentanius. Nevada fan here.
Thank you.
Question is, who do you think Nevada's toughest opponent will be in the latter half of the season?
Is it Air Force?
I'm gonna go. You want to go? My honest opinion. I'm gonna go with your bowl game.
So you're assuming since they're 4-3, they're going to a bowl game.
Yes.
This team is so back and forth because we discussed like what was last week. We were questioning would they make a bowl game, not just throwing it out there just because they lost 2 in a row, 3 of 4, but we were seriously considered they're 3-3. BYU, what? It is even knowing Christian Stewart was playing instead of Taysom Hill, we figured, okay, that could be a loss. Aztecs are looking better, but their quarterback situation is still kind of up in the air. Fresno's improving, but now they're not. So do you really think – so you're assuming they're going to win 2 more games. So Hawaii, UNLV will get them bowl eligible at least. And let's go regular season, though, not do bowl game, because bowl matchup – I don't know who they'd be playing right now. It's kind of all over the board at the moment. They're probably the 4
– San Diego State.
Even with their quarterback situation kind of what it is?
They have Donnell Pumphrey, don't they?
Good point. And I guess Matt Kenner is not like we left him off for Player of the Year, I believe. Sorry. Yeah, Pumphrey, another solid game, I would say it looks like.
Absolutely.
Let's not talk properly on this radio show we're doing here. No, I'll go Air Force because it's a road game. And Air Force is sitting nice at 5-2. They're playing, even though New Mexico hung around, I'm going Air Force mainly because it's a road game, whereas Nevada hosts San Diego State. Good enough? Moving on?
Yeah.
Games! Sorry. Games! I should have swallowed
it. Hey.
I should have put the mic right next to my face and yell. First game of the week, the Milk Can. What a game. Very, very good game. First off, it's Boise State 37, Fresno State 27. Outcome, like the difference, point differential, was that a surprise to you, only 10 points?
It did. I honestly thought that was a 10-point game at half. It was going to finish out 20 points at the end of the game. What I completely forgot was that Boise State has lulls of inattentiveness on special teams.
Fumble.
Specifically, a fumble that puts Fresno State on the Boise State first and goal.
Yeah, that was probably the turning point to keep them in the game. Because at that point, that was in the third quarter. It wasn't the opening kickoff. I should have had this pulled up here. But it was one of their... It wasn't 10-10. Was it after? Was it 20-10? There it is, yeah. 20-10. They scored to make it 20-17. That was it right there. Excuse me for not having this ready. This was the first play of the second half.
You take away that turnover. All right, so you take away that turnover. This is one of those things that it will be interesting to say that.
No, I apologize. That was not the player thinking of. Sorry to interrupt you there. I read this wrong because I love using ESPN stats, and I always say I'm not going to, but I do. The drive, let's back up and start with the drive because it was a 3-2-2 plays and they scored. Martez Waller's 38-yard rush and a 32-yard Harper pass for a touchdown. Sorry to interrupt you, but that fumble was big, but it was later on in the game. Gotcha. That was the Dallas Burroughs fumble, correct?
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what made it 20-17.
27-20.
27-20. And no, the final score was 27-17.
No, it's 37-27.
Oh, 37-27. Okay, fine.
No, that fumble tied the game at 27 apiece.
That's right. That's right. So that fumble doesn't happen. 27-20. Boise State, I assume, will go down and score something. That would kill the game early. And it would just depend on how much Boise State would pile it on before the end of the game. But that fumble, I think, changed the course of Fresno State's attitude.
It does, because Fresno State went on a huge drive. Even though they only got a field goal, that 44-yarder, that was a lengthy drive to make it 27-20. Because they responded. Yeah. They got the first, like I said, they got that first quick touchdown. And then Shane Williams scored on the 21-yard pass from Grant Hendrick. Then Fresno was like, okay, they matched. Fresno had to do something before this fumble occurred. They took an extremely long drive to kick a 44-yard field goal. And so they had confidence anyways, like, we can drive on this team, kind of stalled, but they got points.
But here's the other thing I'm going to say, and this I think this is going to be my final note on the game, because we do have six games covered tonight.
Yes, we do.
I did not realize how much Martise Waller has saved this Fresno State team. I'm sorry. It's hard enough to run 100 yards on Boise State's front seven.
Yes.
But to basically have two runs combined for about 110 yards, the 76-yard touchdown, plus the 36-yard to get them in within striking distance, I mean, Waller did a fantastic job that night.
But also, that first touchdown, I think, because I remember I was going to bring this up. I have something written down on it, I believe, or at least I did. He made one defender. The defense on that long touchdown, I don't. 76-yard run, whoever does it, you're doing something right. And there's probably something wrong.
Well, he bounced off a defender.
That's what I mean. The guy, that should have been like a 5-yard gain. Whoever, I don't recall who was trying to tackle him, but they did not wrap up. They just kind of, like I said, bounced off him. That, I believe that was the only guy that touched him the whole way. But I've been saying that, like, yeah, it should have been tackled, but like you said, he saved their bacon, 100 yards and 2 rushes. And I believe, was this the most rushing yards against Boise State all year?
Yes.
By one player?
I'm pretty sure. We can look at the Boise State Air Force game.
There wasn't. That was all short field stuff. I'm pulling up now. Their defense per game, let's see here. No, Air Force did have 287 against them.
Yeah.
So it was still Fresno State, 186. The biggest single player games, I don't think Air Force had one guy. I don't think Jacoby Owens had like 250 yards or something, 200 yards, but the big plays, Boise State usually doesn't give those up, and two key ones, that one was a touchdown, one led to a touchdown.
Yeah. And takes those away, who knows how that would have affected the game.
Whether it's a long drive and a punt or a field goal, that's still it's something. But and then Boise, and then also Fresno, geez, how did they not give Waller the ball? I think he had 4 yards in the fourth quarter and 2 touches.
He has 7 touchdowns already this season.
Yeah. No, I mean, the fourth quarter, he only had a handful of carries.
Well, you're down. You need to.
He had one carry the fourth quarter.
That's.
Well, here's the thing. Fourth quarter, you're tied. Boise has that long drive to get the touchdown. Fresno, on the next drive, you're down a touchdown. Fresno does not give him the ball. Incomplete pass. They give it to Dylan Root. Incomplete pass. Incomplete pass.
I understand you're trying to save time, but if you run down the time, Waller has been phenomenal that night. He's got the hot hand. You give it to the hot hand.
Why are they running Dylan Root on 2nd and 11?
Look, they had stopped Jay Ajayi for quite a bit that whole game. But what did the Broncos do? They give it the ball to Jay Ajayi, and that's where he breaks one for 54 yards.
Well, yeah,
so it's you know, you give it to your person who can affect your offense the most.
Yeah, I just felt they went 3 and out both times in the fourth quarter, every time in the fourth quarter, all 3 possessions, 3 and out for Fresno State.
But anyway,
that kind of sums up when you can't score in the fourth quarter after having a nice third quarter. And if you look at the numbers real quick, Brian Burrell he was not good at all, 13-25. Hedrick was efficient, but yards were not there. And did you like that trick play for the wide open Hedrick?
Of course.
Of course, naturally. And I watched it like 3 times. How does the way the play is set up, I don't not that I'm a Division I defensive coordinator and ever played defensive back in this level. That was the most obvious pass coming anybody could see.
Right, but see, the way Boise State sets it up on offense, and really, this needs to be the final note
yes.
of this game. The way Boise State sets it up on offense, to throw a handoff, right? So you're handing the ball off to the wide receiver. Receiver wraps around.
The reverse, end around.
Yeah, the end around. There's your reverse right there. But you leave the quarterback wide open because it appears, it doesn't look like Spearbeck is going to throw until the very last second.
I know, I beg to differ on that because he was taking, when he took the pitch around, he was not running forward at all. He was running at best side to side. He made no attempt to go forward,
in this sense is, you could be running side to side all you want, but if your blockers are blocking in front of you, that gives you a hole either to run or to pass.
I just felt the play was going backwards and even up until he threw it. But still, here's the thing. It worked well, but where's and no safety, nobody in that direction. And Boise, I think Boise does the end around a bunch or some sort of variation of a sweet jet sweep end around reverse. How can you leave a guy that open anyways? They've done that play, what, one or two times every game?
Not quite that many, but at least enough that it's noticeable.
Oh, I'd say maybe one a game. Okay, I'd say maybe one a game.
Yeah.
That's fair. And we're eight games in. Seven games in, they probably ran it seven times, I bet.
You know it's in the playbook. You know it's coming.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. Big. It's a big win because Boise. One last thought.
Milk Camp.
Is this an actual rival for you? Do you consider this a rival?
Yes, I consider it a rival. Okay. I do not consider it as heavy as Nevada or Idaho. But Fresno State is a rival. I think it's more of a friendly rivalry.
Okay. I was just asking your pregame show. I'm like, I say 70% rival.
I may or may not have been trolling my family in Fresno because three of them go to Fresno State, and I was texting Milk Can to them.
Okay. I also did like the photo that a photographer shot that tweeted out of JHIE on the milk, giving the Milk Can a big kiss.
Very much.
Excellent photo. Moving on. We had a lot of good games, man. Every game was within 10 points. No blowouts this week. Let's move on to Air Force Day, New Mexico, and I want to thank our good man Ronnie Glover for some more photos on the scene there. Excellent. I kind of forgot
his. Why? Why are you still using Cole Gauchy?
He played okay in defense. Okay, I'm 100% Lamar Jordan. He played. They moved the ball well. Kinda. Let me rephrase that. The offense moved the ball well. Gauchy did not himself. Like, we've always defended his running ability. 13 for 46 in this game.
Which is not what you want.
3.5 for carry, especially what he's known to do. That's well below what he's capable of, or has been.
But once again, when you have two triple option teams, the funny thing about this was Air Force got outgained practically 100 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
But threw for 159 yards.
Yeah, Kale Pearson can do that.
Wait, which means that Air Force won through the air?
Did the Air Force? What do you expect anything less?
No. is why it's funny that they run the triple option.
They won 35-31. Everything pointed to, like, this is... Air Force should have won by more points than this. They had 9 more first downs. They were 50% on third down compared to 4 of 15 for New Mexico. That goes to show you when there's those third and longs, they can't complete them, convert them.
No.
And then plus one on the turnover. But it was back and forth. Like, New Mexico had a good run going up with the fumble return by David Guthrie there in the second quarter. That helped them out to get a 21-14 lead. But then Air Force responds like they do. Jarrell Presley had a great – geez, how did – give him the ball more, man. Almost 150 yards, 13 yards a carry.
Especially now that Caruso Gonbe is gone.
He's the guy.
You have to be giving the ball to Jarrell Presley.
Yeah. Wait, I have a question here for you. Do you have the stat sheet up here?
Yes.
Look at New Mexico receiving real quick. Do you see
the failed screen pass?
No, not that. Not the Rondell.
You're talking about zero receptions.
Yeah. How do three people have zero receptions?
Backwards pass.
That should be a rushing.
Probably dropped, fumbled.
Huh,
right.
Well, no, and but then that's rushing yards. Like Carlos Wiggins, zero receptions, 10 yards.
Not if it's a backboard pass.
That's a fumble, and that's considered rushing.
Oh, man.
That's just odd. It's just odd. But yes, back to your point, he puts Lamar Jordan in the fourth quarter, but come on, it's too little, too late. He needs to stick with the guy. Jordan.
That guy is Lamar Jordan.
Because he can throw and pass, right?
Yes. He can throw and pass, but not just do one.
Oh, man, he can do, he's good. it's just, I don't know. It's ridiculous. Our defense always has been Gauchy can run the ball well enough to make up for his throwing inefficiencies. Air Force's defense is pretty good. New Mexico put up a lot of points, but that was not because of Gauchy getting the ball. And 4-point game, and New Mexico is still winless in conference play. And
this is what I have to say about New Mexico, and likewise also about Hawaii. With this, they're getting to the point. Yes, they're at the cellar of Mountain West, but they're getting to the point where they're not getting blown out anymore. Yes. And remember what I said about UNLV. Their UNLV last year was at that point where they weren't getting blown out anymore, and they were starting to able to finish games, which is how they made a bowl game last year.
Mm-hmm.
When teams that are at the bottom stop getting blown out, start playing it closer, it does not bode well for better teams who cannot finish games.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah, because we said that for UNLV, I think the past two seasons, I believe.
Yeah.
I think, no, 2 years ago, like, they're getting blown out. Our goal, I think, last year when they was not to get blown out as often, and they've shown that. And just scrolling through here on these third... Every third down New Mexico has is at least almost third and long. And it's like a 1 yard run or a 2 or 3 yard run or a sack or something. They just don't have, or they do a bad play, giving Lamar Jordan to the game. I don't recall this play, but 3rd and 9 is a 2 yard pass. I don't know. They're not going to a bowl game. Yes, Gauchy has one more year, so this could be another year. We've been saying this for two seasons, season and a half. They need to do something else.
Yep. And just give the ball to Jordan. Lamar Jordan.
Because here's the thing, too. If it's at worst, it's equal. Play the younger guy. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
And he's led them to a comeback win over UTSA. He does need to work on his throwing and get... Here's the thing. He would probably be even better if he'd actually know he's the guy and not, I could get pulled if I screw up on this series.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. And in this game, really quick, too, Jacoby Owens only had 64 yards and was the third leading rusher for Air Force. This dude, Shane Davern, did pretty well, 85 yards. But Air Force 5-2, they are the turnaround team because last year they went 2-10.
Yep.
Next
game. Turnaround for the better team.
Oh, yeah. They're going to the bowl game. They're still in contention. One game. They're going to beat Army. They're going to win the Commander-in-Chief and beat Army in 2 weeks. So, yeah, they're good. San Jose State, who does not have any offense, or at least kind of, versus Wyoming. I think we may have to put aside the Craig Bowling puns now. Maybe. San Jose State wins 27-20 in overtime. And I joked about, if everybody saw me on Twitter, the first half stats. How was it a 10-3 game? It made zero sense for the stats that are put out there. But did you see the first down discrepancy in this game? I'll be quiet. You take a quick gander, and I want to hear your reaction to that. How did this game go to overtime? San Jose State was plus 20 in first down, 31-11.
They were losing the turnover battle.
Yeah, they're minus 2. That's a big deal. And then they outgained Wyoming by almost 200 yards. And Joe Gray.
How is San Jose State?
And they didn't even have Jared Lawson, who got suspended, the running
back. I mean, okay, fine. Austin Lopez missed two field goals. That's
big.
That's 6 points right there.
That's not going to overtime. Means,
what?
That's not going to overtime.
And that's not going to overtime.
And Stuart Williams missed 1-2-4, I mean, also.
Right, but this is – no. But this – I mean, that's the only thing. Okay, drive all the way down and have Lopez miss a field goal. That's the only thing I can see. There is no reason. Tim Crawley, kick return. He averaged almost 30 yards on kick returns. Wyoming's kick coverage is horrible. Or even worse, San Jose State's – oh, no. Sorry. Never mind. I was going to say something and that would have sounded really stupid. God. There's no reason. No reason at all for why San Jose State won in overtime.
Yeah, because that touchdown, one of the fumbles, defensive back Blair Burns for Wyoming returned it 63 yards. So one of the fumbles directly led to 7 points. The other one did not lead to any points, but you give up that, I don't get it, because as Jimmy Durkin on chatting with him on Twitter, he's like, this is the norm. They will outgain, do all this stuff, but it's always a close game.
And that's, okay, so that's frustrating as well. Okay. Here's drive summaries. Yeah. San Jose State, 57 yards, field goal. 34 yards, missed field goal. 22 yards, punt. 90 yards, touchdown. 47, missed field goal. 17 yards fumble, 58 yards fumble, 75 yards touchdown, 4 yards punt, 39 yards field goal, and then 25 for touchdown overtime.
And also, did you know, a couple things here. The missed field goal, one's a 47-yarder by Austin Lopez early in the game, so that doesn't really have a bearing on the outcome. Then he misses a 31-yarder in the first drive of the third quarter. But then Wyoming had a chance to win the game. Stuart Williams lines up for a 46-yarder. No good. And then in overtime, San Jose State runs a couple plays. Tyler Winston scores.
To top it off, San Jose State's defense is holding Wyoming literally. Okay.
Yeah.
Wyoming drives 5 yards punt, minus 1 yard punt, 7 yards punt, 4 yards punt, minus 3 yards punt. It just.
Punt machine.
The only time Wyoming's getting yards is long drives.
And even Sean Wick, he had 97 yards. One was that long touchdown run he had. That was not a touchdown. Sorry.
Yeah, but even if you took that away, he still had a pretty good average.
No, that's like 3 yards, man. 15 for 45.
Never mind. I can't
math. I'm kind of speechless how it was close. I didn't watch a ton of this game. You can probably tell the way we're describing it. But it's on ESPN. I checked in the first drive. And most of the third quarter there, saw the fumble return. Like, okay, it's a tied game. Fourth quarter is what I should have been watching. But the two missed field goals, everything points to a San Jose State blowout. Even the turnovers, still, it's plus two, and only one was for a touchdown.
Yeah, when the only way Wyoming can score is a fumble return for a touchdown. I mean, there's no reason for San Jose State to take.
It's either a big player that because Wick.
I'm so confused.
I made 3 errors in the last minute. Sean Wick did score in that 48 yard touchdown. Apologies again for me.
I'm
not knowing anything.
So confused.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's time of possession, San Jose State. Because that fumble for a touchdown, yeah, that kills time of possession, really, but... I know what it is. It's the red zone issue, because I was looking at Jimmy Durkin on Twitter. He's like, we're coming into the danger zone. San Jose State's at the Wyoming 23-yard line. Better go for a deep touchdown or something like that, like a touchdown pass. Because that was the thing last year. They would get stuffed in the red zone, or they would score like a 40-yard touchdown pass or a run or something.
I'm baffled.
So where do you see, because we kind of, not even jokingly, we in our mid-season show, which you can still listen to over at SoundCloud and everything, we thought there might be a small chance of San Jose State still winning the West. Do you think that's the case?
No, they totally can't.
Do they have the talent to do so? Like talent-wise, Joe Gray They have the quarterback, 33 or 45, 322, no interceptions, two touchdowns. He probably one of the best plays of the weekend quarterback from the league. They go to Navy, which you said they're a 10-point underdog on the road?
Yeah, to Navy.
No, they're going to win that game. Not that it matters in league play, but the Colorado State game is now looking very interesting.
Just yeah, because, no, it totally is.
Just because of the way Joe Gray plays at quarterback.
Because he can play quarterback. He had 332 yards.
Yeah. They got Fresno on the road, which they can win. They got Hawaii, they can win. Utah State, depending who quarterback is. Even if they have, even if Daryl Garrettson's there, I would still give San Jose State a fighting chance. If it's Craig Harrison or one of the two freshmen like DJ Nelson, no. San Jose State, well, I won't say no for sure, but I'd give the edge to San Jose State, even against that Aggie defense. Are you a believer in Spartans at least making a bowl game?
Yes.
Okay, same here. Let's move on. We're kind of taking our sweet time in the games tonight. The game of the week, Colorado State, Utah State. Aggie's defense fails on the final drive. They lose 16-13. Rams win. People are going to get mad at me anyways. Aggies lose, Rams win. One of those things. Yeah, it happened. Rams win 16-13.
Colorado Aggies won. Utah Aggies lost.
Yeah, there we go. The Aggies were winners and losers in this game. But this game, I watched most of it this morning. And Utah State thought they had overtime going. They made a, let's see here, what did they get? They kicked a field goal. Colorado State kicked a field goal to tie it. So we figured there's a minute something left. What? Gary Anderson, you have your third string quarterback in there. We'll get to the injury in a moment. Craig Harrison.
Gary Anderson.
Oh, jeez. Matt Wells. Oh,
Matt
geez.
Wells. Dude, where the hell are you coming from?
I don't know. I was just thinking Aggies and bad play calling. Channeling back, that was
game.
Hey, that was Wisconsin's game. There was a bad play called the long third down play, setting up your kicker for a long field goal, longish field goal, 37. Back to this, your third string quarterback's in the game. Craig Harrison scrambles, which was not designed to run for 15 yards. So he got him to the 41. So they're in range. Like you only need about 20 so yards to get a field goal there. I don't recall the timeout situation, but they threw three straight times. And then they have a penalty. They pin them deep. They did everything right. I just kind of thought maybe run the clock out or something, you know, do something like that. Play for overtime. But they attempted to go for it. They didn't do it. Maybe I'm misguiding as I'm walking through this scenario of remembering the last bit of the game. But where's the defense for the Aggies? They punt. It's tied. A minute left. Colorado State's at the 12-yard line. That Rashard Higgins catch, as I mentioned before, triple teamed right between, well, three Aggie defenders right in his way, and he slides and catches that pass. An amazing play.
You know who was noticeably missing from this game?
Chucky Keaton. Sorry, noticeably. Sorry, who was that? Go ahead.
Noticeably.
Yeah.
How about Hunter Sharp?
He's not impressive. Not as impressive. Well, when you have
two receptions, 33 yards. This comes back to this. When you have a favorite receiver, quarterback throwing to his favorite receiver, this is Daryl Garrettson, you know, and he's not, and his favorite receiver can't get involved in the game because of the secondary shutting him down or whatever. This leaves, you know, you have to go to other options. And it looked like that while Garrettson had other options to go to, and he looked good, Harrison was not comfortable.
Yeah, Garrettson is 14 of 19 when he left for 132 yards.
Yeah, but Harrison, when he came in, was not comfortable with his receiving corps.
No, it's his first game.
And as a coach, I don't know what you would have been doing if you were offensive coordinator in this case. My second string quarterback goes down. Even my first string quarterback goes down. You set up plays that you know are going to be short, successful throws. If you have to throw the ball to win this game, you have to set it up in such a way that to build your confidence for your quarterback.
Yeah, because that's completely correct. So when he came in, Craig Harrison, let me pull up the chart here when he came in. He showed up his first drive in the third quarter, so it's 10-10. He comes mid-drive, third and 8-2, tough situation. You throw it, whatever happens. But also, did you – well, not that – sorry, I was going to mention that punt, but that didn't really have a bearing effect on it, that shanked punt. But they need to do something because he had incomplete to Hunter Sharp, gets a pass to JoJo Natz. I think he went 5 of 12 for the game, if I'm correct. Something pretty bad. He didn't complete – yeah, 5 of 12 for 28 yards. So your running game with Joe Hill was doing reasonably well. I don't know why he didn't get more carries. 9 for – well, maybe I do. I just realized he had that long 59-yard touchdown run, and he had 64 in the game, but – why is the running game not more involved, regardless of how well or not well it's doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And with a backup QB, or third QB, I guess we'll get to this point.
We're not even in the backup anymore. We're in the third string.
And Utah State still had a chance to win, even with their because there's people, sorry folks, on Facebook or whatever, saying, "Oh, if we had Gerritsen, we would have won the game." Well, it was 10-10 when Gerritsen came in. This was by no means you'd game the Utah State's favor. Clearly, you and I would both give him a better chance to win.
Oh, yeah.
But, no way. When there's no saying for sure they would have won. Utah State defense, they held DeHart to first time under 100 yards in a while, even though he's still 12 for 6, he's pretty good. Garrett Grayson threw pretty well. 20 for 31. It's more of a this is a defensive game. There's one turnover for Utah State. Multiple field goals. Only what, 2 touchdowns in this whole game?
Yeah, and it looked like the front 7 was just coming up, doing their jobs, making their tackles. Obviously, you see Garrett Grayson pressured a lot. He had 12 carries for minus 25 yards. Well, one of those carries was a 19-yard play. So where was he? He was minus 6 beforehand, meaning that he was avoiding to get sacked.
I mean, Garrett Grayson. You did what I did. Garrett Grayson there. Rams.
Garrett Grayson. Sorry.
The Garrettsons, mixing them up.
GG, guys. GG.
Yeah, there you go. And even with that, like I said, Utah State, they had chances to – I'm trying to see here. I'm trying to recall because I did watch this morning. They had the field goal, which Harrison – that was his most successful drive. He completed 4 of his 5 passes on that drive to go up 13-10. In the fourth quarter. That was all he had. He had one of the completion that was like the short one to Hunter Sharp. But that's all he did. Like the other drives were 3 and outs. Or the incomplete pass to trying to win the game with no time left. He had really 2 significant, well, 3 significant drives and only 1 worked out for him.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. What do we make of Utah State now? Because we still have no – I can check Twitter real quick and see. But at the moment, I believe there's no timetable for return. I don't know what type of wrist injury it is and if it's – how serious. All Gary – oh, jeez. I did it again. All Matt Wells said he's out for a while. That's all we know. So it's like
– I think we can assume that Utah State – is not in the front running for the Mountain anymore.
Well, they lost, and this makes the – no, they still are because as of right now, the game still comes down to Boise State versus Utah State. What this does is keeps Colorado State in the mix.
And that's fine, but I'm just saying if Daryl Gerritsen's going to be out for a while, who knows when he's coming back unless he comes back for the Boise State game, which, you know –
On the road,
yes. I'm looking for.
Do you think they'll stick in one of the freshmen?
I have no clue, but I'm looking at right now. I'm looking to see if there's any updates to.
You do that. I don't think there are any yet. We'll probably know some more tomorrow. We got Kent Myers or DJ Nelson. Neither of them have played. We know Matt Wells probably doesn't want to burn a redshirt on either of those guys. And we don't know the status.
Did you write that article on our website this morning?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So yours is the top thing to come up.
Of course it is, naturally. And if I'd have been around, I would have written this last night as soon as it happened. but I did not. But it's looking at their schedule's fine. They're going to a bowl game. And if it's because a broken wrist or fractured wrist, they didn't even say. I think it was is he right-handed or left-handed? Do you know?
He's right-handed.
Okay, and the picture I found is the right wrist, so that's even more time to come back. Your throwing arm, throwing hand, whatever you want to call it. What do you know the timetable for a broken wrist recovery?
You're making me look this stuff up.
Okay, you do that while I go through the schedule. With Craig Harrison, here's their schedule, and they could win four of these next six games easily. UNLV home next week. Here's two. There's no bye the rest of the way. They have no bye game to give an extra week for Garrettson. They host UNLV. They could win that. They go to Hawaii. They should win that. At Wyoming, I'll still say they should win that. They should win their next three and next four versus New Mexico. They should be able to win their next four games with whatever quarterback they put under center. Is that being too out there, or is that accurate?
No, I think that's accurate.
So they could be still sitting at 7-3 before they play San Jose State and Boise State. Or excuse me, 8-3, excuse me.
From what I look here, it's anywhere between 3 and 6 weeks.
So probably Boise State games what they're shooting for.
Well, okay, so it says rehabilitation return activity. If any of you are wondering where I'm getting this info, it's orthoinfo.aaos.org. And it says vigorous activities such as skiing or football may be resumed between 3 and 6 months after the injury.
Months or weeks? You said months there.
Sorry. Yeah, it is months.
Oh, okay, so he's done?
So the soonest so the soonest we can see him back is possibly bowl game.
No way. If it's 3 months, November, December, mid-January, man, he's done. If that's what he has, we don't know what he has.
Okay. We're talking about normal people here. We're not talking about normal people. We're talking about athletes.
Sure. I guess there's also the thing last year with Joe Southwick breaking his ankle and he came back. When most people like myself figured he's done or maybe see action in that one game. But
it's one of those things. It's athletes because they've been trained to be, you know, athletes.
There's muscle there.
Yeah. Their recovery time is typically a little bit quicker than most of us normally.
Then the 325 guy who's 6'2", tears his ACLs out for 24 months of going to bowling.
Yeah.
So also, to be clear, we don't know he has a fractured wrist, a broken wrist, dislocated wrist. But if he has
We're going based off what Matt Wells said after the initial x-rays. He didn't reveal to us what he had. He just said he's going to be out for a while.
And if you take x-ray, that's obviously – who knows, they'll probably do MRI, but even if you tear a tendon, that's even worse. You'd rather break a bone than a tendon. So the few options to leave the game that quickly and have ice after the game when you're leaving and all that, it's got to be a break or fracture, some sort of break.
All right, next game.
So sorry, Aggies fans. It's
speedy recovery to Daryl Garrett.
Yes, everything goes well, and Aggies fans, you'll be okay. You have Garrettson going forward. He may have Chucky Keaton next year, so.
You won't have Chucky Keaton next year.
Yeah, it's a possibility. Probably not, but it's a possibility. I don't want to give your hopes up. Next game, Nevada BYU. This was can you call this the game of the weekend, perhaps?
We could call it the game of the weekend, but we could more or less call it Robert N.A. adapts the air raid offense.
And Robert and I?
And I.
Or if you're Mac Brown, Rob Anaya.
Rob Anaya.
Does not say anywhere near. It's like, do some research to get a guy's name right. But this was
happening. Whoa. You know.
I apologize. I'll stop talking about that now.
Anyway, Robert Anaya, offensive coordinator for BYU. Let's Christian Stewart, this is his second game starting?
Second game starting.
He goes 39 of 63, 408 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks, and BYU still loses.
Well, yes, couple reasons here. And then, Mitch Matthews, 16 for 182, 2 touchdowns on the receiving end. Couple things here. When Nevada's down 28 to 13 at the half, I'm like, yeah, no big deal. They've done this the past 2 weeks. Colorado State, Boise State, anybody who knows anything, they knew there was a comeback coming to this game. And
yeah, and the comeback usually starts with Nevada forcing fumbles, which is what they did.
Three turnovers for BYU, fumbles forced by Nevada. There's the Brock Hekking recovery late in the game, the one at midfield that really hurt with Christian Stewart. But they scored 29 straight points. And against a BYU defense, that's been pretty good most of the year for the most part. But man,
I just see this game, and I see BYU rolling up 601 yards, and still I'm trying to figure out how they lose this game.
This is classic BYU, too, the amount of passing yards. This is like Ty Detmer, John Beck, Max Hall throwing the ball back there.
Jim McMahon.
Yeah, McMahon. Robbie Bosco. We can go back. Garrett, what's his name? Shoot.
We can stop now.
I'll just stop. Giff Nielsen. That guy. Quarterback you, essentially, right?
Right. Riley Nelson. Jake Heaps. Wait. BYU legend Jake Heaps.
Former number one recruit in the country, Jake Heaps.
So, but I'm just saying, Cody Fajardo, 26 of 40, 285, one touchdown. Yeah, it's all right. That's what Fajardo's been doing. But then you see 126 of yards of Nevada rushing.
Yeah, that wasn't as much.
Uncharacteristic.
But Don Jackson, when he's running, he had plenty of key big runs in this game. Yeah, he only averaged 3.4, and his long was 13, but he had a couple carries that were good carries to move the chains to keep going.
Exactly. It's timely runs. They don't have to be long runs. They have to be clutch.
And Jackson had 95 receiving yards as well.
So he's becoming a dual threat running back as well.
At least in this game he did.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing, too. BYU was – we weren't sure. Their running back was out of commission. Jamal Williams is out again, didn't dress. Adam Hine, who we reported earlier in the week, injured ankle. So they're down on the preview show we mentioned. All-American rugby, Paul Asike. And then this white dude, Nate Carter, bust out 87 yards, did reasonably well. But BYU's defense had no answer in that second half.
No, not at all.
Yeah, there's and turnovers as well. You can't just all blame the BYU defense when they're getting when the offense coughs up the ball and Nevada's able to get back in there quickly and the defense doesn't get much of a rest. That's just another advantage for this Nevada offense. And did you know because BYU, if you watch this game, if you're not familiar with what they do, they like to run the ball, run plays at a blistering pace, probably faster than Oregon. Faster than Arizona, faster than anybody, or at least at worst they're on par with those three teams, or even Cal. They ran 102 plays in this game.
That's their goal, right?
Fast, go hard.
That's what Bronco Mendenhall said he wanted to do, is he wanted to run 100 plays every single game. Look, I get the up-pace, up-tempo offense.
Well, hold on, real quick. They had 601 yards. That's only 3 yards a play.
Yeah.
Or no, excuse me. Oh, my math's wrong. 6 yards a play. Okay, that's better. I was thinking to something else.
I was going to say, hold on there.
6 yards a play? That's reasonably good.
We can't math tonight at all.
I can't talk tonight. I can't speak. I'm thinking this is 2010.
Yep, pretty much.
Normal show, folks. So, continue with your thoughts on the go fast, go hard failed offense.
Fast, go hard. 600, I'm astonished because, and really, I shouldn't be. Nevada's been doing – you're absolutely right. Nevada's done this past 2 weeks.
And this yards, like, I was on, like – I think I joked about it. Like, I was told, like, there are other defenses, some radio guy and so like, oh, the Nevada's secondary defense is good. No, their defense is terrible. They'll make
this for the past 4 years. Their defense is better than they have been.
They'll make plays, but they'll give up yards. They'll make a few plays. It's kind of the Boise secondary a little bit. They'll jump on a play, get burned, but then they'll have another interception later on down the road.
You want to know what stat stands out to me?
What is that?
Both teams, both Nevada and BYU, fourth down conversions.
Yeah, that's quite
so
well.
Neither team's defense could stop a fourth down conversion.
And then you could also add and make it five because there's the 2-point conversion Nevada made as well.
Right. I mean, you can't count that as a fourth down, but that might as well
be. One and done play, kind of it, but yeah.
It might as well be in there, yes.
And looking at the turnovers, Nevada scored 14. Yeah, there's a – because the big turnover, the backbreaker was 35-28. Nevada's up. Ian Sale sacks and strips Christian Stewart. And then Matthew Lyons recovers. Nevada goes down and scores on a James Butler six-yard run to go up 42-28. BYU does score on a long drive, but and they do get the onside kick back.
Here's your three turnovers for Nevada. 48 yards, touchdown. 49 yards, touchdown. 20 yards, touchdown. I mean, those are extremely short fields.
Yeah, they did. Out of the three fumbles, they scored 21 points off, or 14 points off those fumbles for BYU.
Who needs lots of yards when you can have just an efficient defense that can strip the ball?
Yeah.
And, yes, I did just call Nevada's defense efficient because their front seven have been causing turnovers the last few weeks like nobody's business.
And also, think of it this way. Christian Stewart's not Taysom Hill. He doesn't run the ball as well. Even though BYU's offense, you can tell they're still attempting to do the read option where it's well, everybody knows what that is, keep it or run it for the quarterback. Stewart, they don't want Stewart to run as many times. He led the team in rushing with 16, so I can almost assure you, without watching rewatching the game, six of those were him being scrambled, had to run the run away to get yards because he's only 2.9. And he did it. And
so getting excited for this week's game.
Yeah, and it's Nevada won. They finally got. They just can't do what they did in the first half. They need to play a more complete game. There's still a lot of flaws. You give up 600 yards to any team, you're probably going to lose.
We've said this every single week about Nevada football. They have yet to play a full game, a full half.
And they were
in halves of a game.
And third down, BYU did better than them. Credit Nevada's defense for forcing 21 third downs, but BYU completed 13 of those, where Nevada was 7 of 17.
Nevada needs to play. I'm just curious. If Nevada was able to play two straight halves,
they could be undefeated right now. Realistically, they could be undefeated.
They would be probably ranked 15th in the country.
Because they versus Arizona, they kicked two early field goals. Both, I think, were about 20 or so yards. They had to do a massive comeback versus Boise State and turn the ball over. Both teams turned the ball over pretty bad. Then versus Colorado State, they had to make a huge comeback. They could realistically, if they were to play not even two quarters, give them three quarters, or not even four quarters, play three quarters of good football, they could be undefeated.
No, they have to play all four quarters.
I'm just saying, better than two.
Oh, yeah.
But if they're looking the way they played, they could be undefeated. Just because scoring, how many they scored? What, 21 fourth quarter points versus Colorado State? Versus Boise State, they scored, what, 30, 25 in the second half, 17 in the fourth quarter? Yeah, 21 second half for CSU, 14 fourth quarter. They have possibility. So going the rest of the way, are they?
Yeah, they scored 29 points. No, sorry, 19? 29.
29 in a row last night versus BYU. 29
points in a row. That's wow.
And this is also a BYU team. People are saying, oh, I get Taysom Hill. There's a lot of injuries in their secondary. There's a lot of stuff banged up. I get all that. But when people are saying BYU is just good of a team, which when they were running and being well, their defense was part of their strength, and it's clearly not anymore. So let's go to the last game of the weekend really quick. A surprisingly low-scoring game, San Diego State tops Hawaii 20-10.
Wait, does this mean that Rocky Long is right? That
no. Because Donnell Pumphrey rushed for 182 yards, and as a team, they ran for 283 and 6 yards a carry. So, no, Rocky Long is not right in saying their front seven's very the best thing that they faced. Do I just laugh at that? He's doing his Lou Holtz impression? This team's so good. This is my Lou Holtz here. Apparently, it's terrible.
You're a horrible. Yeah, no, I shock like Lou Holtz. Because you have to talk like this. And look, now it's just being back.
I don't get how the Aztecs didn't win by...
spit all over my laptop now.
Good job. pull out your wet nap. But how did San Diego State not win by more? They're plus two in turnovers. They held Hawaii to 3 of 13 on third downs. They doubled them up almost in yards, 200 more yards. How is this game even close?
Well, I mean, this game.
Point wise, it was close.
Point wise, it was close even in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was 20 to. It was 17-10 midway through the fourth quarter.
Kay Kowalski was not good at all. I mean, but we've been saying about.
There's nobody else to play.
There's nobody else to play at this point.
Can they take Lakalaka and just a Wildcat and go? Or Sean Kemp, or Marcus Kemp, he's thrown a pass before, hasn't he?
Yeah, I guess.
Scott Hardy? Why not? Stick him at quarterback.
I mean, Hawaii, 3 of 13 on third downs. But San Diego State was just as bad. Quinn Kaler was 13 of 24. I mean, that is awful.
Yeah. I kind of thought they might go with Bodden again just because of who they're playing.
Awful.
If not for Pumphrey, this game could have been a loss for San Diego State.
Hey. Is this one of those things that we're saying, like, how Martez Waller has been saving Fresno State? Donnell Pumphrey has basically been saving San Diego State this whole year?
At least the past couple of weeks with the quarterback in flux with injury and ineffectiveness.
But, I mean, even against North Carolina and Oregon State, these games that they lost, Pumphrey has been at the front lines for all of them.
True. Yeah. And also, one thing too.
This is another thing that's just scratching, makes me scratch my head because I can't.
Well, one thing too.
There should have been no reason why San Diego State couldn't win by more. I mean, Hawaii had 264 yards total.
Here's also as well. I don't know what Rocky Long's trying to do here. He's up looking at the final drives in the game. One of the turnovers for Hawaii came basically with no time left, so you can kind of take that off the board, had no effect on the game. But San Diego State's up 20-10. They're driving. Pumphrey's running. Tossing Chase Price, Dakota Gordon, running the ball. Why do they go for it on 4th-and-1 at the 11 when they're up 10 with like a minute left in the game?
Kick a field goal.
The game's over. I get the point. Either way, the game's over because they're not scoring 10 points in a minute. They wanted to just go up to stats because it's not 4th-and-1 at the 1. It's at the 11. And then Hawaii fumbles it on a whatever they're trying to on a pass, then they just kneel the game. So one of the fumbles doesn't really affect them at all. The only fumble, I guess, there was the other two were interceptions. But you're playing at home too. It's like, come on, Rocky Long, you're playing Hawaii at home. You got to have a better showing than this. You got to put points on the board, man.
They're saving all their points for the Boise State.
Maybe. Because their drives, like, part of it is their drives kind of, they missed a field goal. They fumble. They actually did have a fumble earlier on and missed as well. But their drives, three-play drive, six-play drive, missed field goal. They missed one field goal. They held the field goals, too. Why do you kick a field goal against this Hawaii team? Get some touchdowns in there, folks. Touchdowns.
It's just another game. It's like scratching your head. Wyoming, San Jose State's the same thing. I mean, weird week of football.
So let's look at it, because we've already gone over an hour. Let's look at the standings really quick. Just because. The West Division. Oh my goodness. 3-1, 2-1, 2-2, 1-1, 1-2, 1-2.
So who holds the tiebreaker here right now?
Oh, jeez.
Nevada.
No, they have two losses.
No.
I don't know. San Jose State has not played San Diego State yet, so.
Okay, are we going to finish up with a two loss?
I already predicted the midway be 5-3 team that wins the West. Right?
Yeah. I mean.
Possibly. Probably. At worst, because I'm not going to count on Nevada not winning the West, and they're only 1-2.
At least San Diego State's standing at the top of the standings. I mean, they seem to be most likely.
Yeah, but they still have now, but they still have to go to Nevada, to Boise State, host Air Force, and host San Jose State. That's not easy. They could go, not to be over-exaggerating, which I'm going to anyways, they could lose all four of those games. At Nevada, at Boise, Air Force, and hosting the Spartans.
There's a good chance they're going to lose at least.
They'll beat Idaho in there.
At least two of those.
In the middle.
They're going to lose at least two of those.
There, yeah, so the West, it's going to be, I don't know who, I would need to break down the schedule further, but I don't know who has the inside track. I guess you got to say maybe the teams with one loss at the moment outside of Hawaii with their one loss. But even the Spartans, they got Colorado State, like I said, Utah State, we mentioned before. Is it just shooting at a dartboard or tossing a roulette ball on the wheel for the West Division?
It might be. I'm trying to think. Let's see. San Diego State has lost to Fresno State. San Jose State has lost to San Diego State.
No, they haven't played yet.
Sorry, San Jose State lost to Nevada. Fresno State has lost to UNLV and Boise State. So both of theirs have come out of conference.
It doesn't matter.
Hawaii has lost to San Diego State. UNLV has lost to San Diego State and San Jose State. So I think they're pretty much out.
I think they sweep. It might come down to the last game of the season, San Jose State versus San Diego State is the last regular season game, and it could come down. We could see the last game of the season for each side could determine, it could be like a semifinal for the title game.
Because Nevada's lost to Colorado State and Boise State. Both of them are out of division as well.
Yeah.
So Nevada holds the tiebreaker.
Over who? Everybody in the West. Well, it goes by, technically, yes, because it goes head-to-head first. And then it goes, first record-wise, clearly. And if there's a tie, it goes to head-to-head.
I'm just saying, if there's a tie, right, that means San Diego State picks up a loss, San Jose State picks up a loss, Hawaii picks up a loss, and then they just kind of all play out. Nevada theoretically holds that tiebreaker.
They do. It just depends if they lose two. Because the way the tiebreaker goes, which you probably already know, but let everybody else know, head-to-head is first tiebreaker. And your point is valid because they have zero loss. Eventually, it goes head-to-head, intra-division record, or common opponents within your division, which is division record. And then it goes to common opponents, outside division. So, you are correct. They do at the moment.
Nevada holds the tiebreaker.
This particular one, which could be a big deal. But how cool would it be if somehow Utah State keeps winning? Because Colorado State, they're in a tough spot. Losing to Boise hurts them right now. Utah State still has one loss. Say Utah State, like we said, they could be sitting at 9-3 because they play 13 games. Playing Boise State for the right to host a Mountain Division or to play in the probably.
You know what the easiest way to decide this is?
When?
take away the West's division ability to play in a championship game and just give it to the Mountain Division.
That would be nice. But how cool would it be if it comes down to San Diego State, San Jose State, winner goes, Boise, Utah State, winner goes.
Yeah, that'd be a fun game.
Even though the best team could be Colorado State sitting at 11-1. Not involved at all.
Are we going the Alabama route?
They have nowhere to go.
Alabama from 2 years ago.
No, I remember, but
didn't win the division, didn't make the championship game, but still made it to the national championship game.
Where to get to the Group of Five bowl game, you have to win your conference title.
Damn it! Why do you ruin everything?
I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Yeah, I get you. I don't know. It'll be a fun way. The games are so interesting. Like this past weekend, no game was a bad game. I tried to catch as much as I could, followed up as much as I could, but every game was a good game. And that's what I like to see. Do you have any final thoughts about this weekend? Anything you want to add that I missed? Or misspelled? Or mispronounced? Or misdiagnosed? Or misspoke? That'll be another show, maybe?
No. Yeah, we're good.
All right. So, yes, thanks, everyone, for joining us today. It's a bit longer than normal. We're at 107, probably 110 at the moment, but check us out, MWCConnection.com. Twitter, Greek Padre, of course, give him the 400. MWC Connection. Give us a review, positive, negative. Give us 5 stars and say what you want on iTunes. You can bash us, but give us 5 stars. That'd be nice, right? You can do that.
Review now?
Yeah, give us a review. Go to iTunes, give us a review. Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, basically wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. So, again, check us out, MWCConnection.com. Chris, thanks for joining me as always.
No problem.
And we will check everybody next time for our Week 9 preview show in a couple days.